This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Well, hello, beautiful.
Holy caffeine!
It's the world's greatest super friends.
Ronnie and Aaron.
Faster than a streak of lightning.
A DC Comics podcast.
Absolute.
Tell me something, my friend. You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
Yeah, sure, why not?
I'm Batman. I'm Batman.
Batman.
He's a hipster.
The Flash, world's fastest human.
I mean, I grew up with Wally West.
Think about the future.
If you're good at something, never do it for free.
Dude, you're a dumbass.
You are foolish.
Ooh.
DC Absolute.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what the answer is. It's just like, it doesn't make sense.
Do you want to talk some comics?
No.
Okay.
I'm good.
All right. We could talk about the big earth-shattering news for DC.
Oh, yeah. That there's a new Justice League trailer?
Oh, well, there's that, but Gal Gadot might not be Wonder Woman again.
Yeah. Yeah, she said she's not going to sign on for another movie unless Brett Ratner's gone, right?
Yep.
Yeah, because I saw Warner Brothers has already cut ties with him and his production company.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what that means for stuff that was, like they said, in the future. But I think because they were already working on this, that they don't know what's going to happen. Right?
Yeah.
Like there was something that it was up in the air if they were going to be involved or not. But it looks like, you know, I don't think that there's any way that they can.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and you have Josh Whedon there, right?
Yeah.
So it's not like you're going to have to scramble to find somebody.
No, but Brett Ratner, it was only his production company, like helping finance stuff. I don't think he had anything to do with any of the
movies. Right.
You know, because Patty Jenkins directed it.
Yeah. Oh, and she's directing the second one, too.
The second one.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yep. Yeah, but I mean, listen, when you look at her now, she's Wonder Woman. There is not a doubt in my mind that they are going to do whatever they need to do to get her signed on to do a billion of those movies.
Well, and that's like on the flip side, that's like Robert Downey Jr. is Tony Stark, right?
Right.
Like the next Avengers movie, say George Clooney is Tony Stark, everybody's going to be like, what the? That's not who Tony Stark is. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And so. It's funny because it's different from how it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like with the Batman movies back in the 80s and, and the 90s,
mm-hmm.
that it was just like, oh, it doesn't matter who plays the characters. We can have it change each time and it doesn't make a difference. You know, that it was more people come to see the character, but now it's like people come to see the actor as the character.
Right.
I think part of it, at least on the Marvel side, a lot of the people that they've cast, I mean, they are perfect in those parts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it took them three shots, but they found, you know, their Bruce Banner.
Right.
That, you know, Ruffalo is awesome. And Chris Hemsworth is Thor. And like you said, Downey Jr. is Iron Man. Mm-hmm. And Chris Evans is, you know, Captain America.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same on the DC side. Like Gal Gadot, she is Wonder Woman.
Right.
And, you know, Henry Cavill is like a great Superman, and based off of the one movie and I guess the bit of Suicide Squad,
mm-hmm.
Batfleck is freaking awesome as Batman.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, it's interesting how they've kind of changed how they did things, I guess, that it's no longer, oh, you know, whoever's Batman is doesn't make a difference. It's now, okay, we need these actors and we're going to lock them up in, you know, 9 or 10 movie contracts so that they can appear in all the side films and the main films and the solo films and everything else.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. Because, I mean, that comes out. When do you have your tickets? It comes out this weekend.
Friday. Yeah, this week. I will be there Friday evening.
Friday evening, I'll be watching the competition on Netflix.
Yeah, I will be watching that when I get home from seeing Justice League.
But it's not saying that I won't see it. It's just I hate crowds, so I'm not going to go out there and...
For me, with this one, it's one of those movies that you know is just going to get spoiled to hell.
Yeah, yeah.
So I figure I'm going to see, you know, like other stuff I don't mind. I can avoid seeing things about like other movies, but like Justice League, 90% of my Twitter feed is comic book stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like, I got to see this before everything gets ruined for me.
Before it gets spoiled to hell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I'm off Thursday and then I'm off Monday, so I might see it a Monday matinee.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. Wait for everyone to go back to work and then go in the morning.
Yep.
Yeah, I am off the following Wednesday, but then I realized because it's right before Thanksgiving, my kids have a half day at school.
Oh.
So I was thinking I was going to try and sneak like a 9 o'clock movie and go see it again.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know if I have time.
But yeah, and there's a lot of cool stuff coming out of it too already, right? I mean, like spinoff type stuff. Like we're gonna get the Sirens, and
it looks that way.
I saw that some Jason Momoa tweets that he's starting production on The Crow, which is pretty awesome.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, which I mean, that's not really DC related, but it's comic book related.
Yeah, I don't want to see a new version of The Crow.
I don't think it's going to be Eric Draven, though, so it's not like it's a reboot of the cool one.
Yeah, but still, but like, how many Crow movies did they make? Three?
Three, yeah. And a TV show, right?
Did they make a TV show?
I
tuned out partway during the third one. The first one was great. The second one was not so good.
Second one was City of Angels, right?
I think so. And the third one, I don't even remember what the third one was, but it was terrible.
Salvation, maybe?
I don't remember. Like I didn't see that one in the theater. I saw it at a friend's house, and partway through, it's like a couple of it just got up and started playing cards.
I saw all three of them in the theater just because that was like one of the comic books that when I was tired of Capes and Cows, that was the one that, you know, I'd read.
Right.
So I was like engrossed in that universe, I guess.
Who put out The Crow?
What do you mean?
Who published it? Do you remember? I have no recollection.
No. No, huh. I don't.
Cool.
Yeah. I think we tried to talk about this last night too, but I don't know. I'll look it up real fast and then I can edit it out.
I know they were talking about what was it? The second Suicide Squad movie?
Yes.
I don't know if you saw that. The rumor now is that that's where Black Adam is going to make his first appearance.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I did see that. Yeah, I did see that.
So I'm curious, does that mean that the Suicide Squad is always going to fight these like mystic superpower things? And that it's never going to be anything else? Because the first one was the Enchantress and her brother.
Right.
And now it's going to be Black Adam. I mean, I guess he's a different kind of mystic, but...
A mystic all the same?
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, I think that's a better... Well, it's a dual purpose, right? Because he's getting his solo movie, right?
I think so.
After that...
Plus, see, I thought he was going to be in the Shazam movie.
Well, see, I read reports that, I read reports where they were just going to have two solo movies.
Yeah.
And this was like the backdoor pilot, if you will, or introduction to the universe character.
Yeah, but it seems weird, though, that they would make a Shazam and a Black Adam movie and not have them...
Interact?
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I get maybe they don't want to put the the well-known villain against them right away.
Right.
You know, I mean, yeah. Like, I would be perfectly okay with a Superman movie not having Lex Luthor, right. Or a Batman movie having the Joker, like, as their first, you know, thing that they go against. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Let it build a bit, but I mean, who really knows other than, you know, like longtime comic readers, who really knows Shazam?
Right, you exactly.
Know, in, with a character like that, it seems like you almost kind of have to blow your load on the first one.
We'll see. And I was thinking, I mean, even though they got, what's his name to play Shazam? Chuck.
Yeah, Zach Levi.
Yeah, Zach Levi, right. So with The Rock being Black Adam, Dwayne Johnson being Black Adam and Suicide Squad, right?
Yeah.
Then, because Shazam would come out after Black Adam solo, I think.
I don't even know. The whole timeline, it's getting so confused for me. So because they changed a bunch of stuff, and then the way that they're announcing casting news, mm-hmm. It seems like stuff that I thought was later is coming out sooner, because I forget who it is, but they cast the young Billy Batson also.
Right, yeah. So I thought maybe like the back door pilot for Shazam would be at the end of the Black Adam movie. You see what I'm saying?
Unless something happens at the end of the second Suicide Squad movie that gives you Billy Batson.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe the Suicide Squad stopping Black Adam somehow gets Billy Batson his powers.
Maybe, yeah.
That the gods give him the power there or something.
Yeah. That's possible, huh. Too.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, look, I'm going to see all these movies anyway. It doesn't make a difference. But I'm just...
Right. Yep, I'm totally there with you.
Yeah. And so far, I mean, they haven't lifted the embargo on talking on Justice League as of when we were recording this. But so far, the few things that have come out have sounded pretty positive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That this movie is a lot more fun than the previous stuff, but it's still good.
Right.
And I'm guessing that's mostly because of The Flash.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah.
You know, based off of the trailers that I've seen for the movie, he looks like he brings a lot of typical Barry Allen humor.
Snarky humor, yeah.
Yeah.
The same way with, like, Joshua or Josh Momoa with Aquaman 2. It seemed like he had a real cool balance of a character, too.
Yeah.
Like, when Bruce went to go see him, you know, he was, like, serious and semi-serious or whatever. But then the battle scenes that we've seen, it looks like, you know, he's a kid in a candy store.
Yeah. I'm still... I mean, I have faith that it'll be good, but he is the one part of the movie that I'm just not sure about.
Really?
Going into it.
It's not Cyborg?
I mean, look, Cyborg to me sucks. So if you get anything out of that character in the movie, it's a positive. Okay. That's my opinion, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not expecting anything, but Aquaman I like. So... to have like a crappy Aquaman, that's like to have a crappy Green Lantern movie.
Right.
You know, like I love Green Lantern, and going to see that movie, you're just like, man, what a letdown. Like, you know, they could have done anything.
Right.
Anything at all, and it could have been good, and this somehow they missed.
Yeah.
So like that's how I feel, because I'm not a huge fan of his.
Okay.
That the couple things I've seen him in, you know, I think we talked about it before. The couple of things I've seen have been just very stale. And, you know, I hope that Aquaman is different.
Yeah. See, and I've liked him since, like, Stargate Atlantis. Stargate. Yeah.
So, yeah, eventually I'll see that.
Yeah. So, I have high hopes. I don't want to, like I was telling this in our message group, like, I'm pumped for Punisher over Justice League. Not because I don't want to see it, but because I don't want to be too pumped and then felt let down. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, which from the bits and pieces of Punisher and Daredevil Season 2, you know, like, because I might be let down from Punisher too. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But like the bits and pieces and the teases that I've gotten of Frank Castle, I'm already geared and looking forward to that. As to where, you know, we got Superman, we got Batman, and we got Wonder Woman. But how's the extra cast come in? You know what I mean? That's like the big question mark is like, oh, come on, please.
Yeah, that...
Don't end in a dance-off, but...
I liked Suicide Squad. I enjoyed the movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, it had a couple problems. Mm-hmm. But my fear with the Justice League movie is that the beginning of it is going to sort of be like Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Where, just like, you know, where Batman and Wonder Woman are kind of collecting the new heroes.
Yeah.
I don't want it to be done in almost like a montage kind of way, like Suicide Squad did, where they introduce you to all the characters. And you saw each one of them getting arrested or whatever.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, yeah.
Like, I hope that it works more organically. But at the same time, I mean, you know, they have shown the clip of Batfleck meeting the Flash.
Yeah.
And it doesn't so much look like that. It looks like there's a whole conversation thing, but I mean, it could have just been trailer editing.
Right.
So.
It could have been that part that it's not even in the movie.
Yeah, that's the best. When they have like these awesome things in the trailer and you go see the movie and you're like, wait a minute, did I miss that part? Like, oh, it's because they cut it out of the film.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm looking forward. I can't wait. It'll be exciting.
Yeah.
I know. I'm like 98% sure I'm just going to have a grin from start to finish, like I have with the last couple DC movies.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep, I agree.
Out of theater with my face hurting. you hear the other DC news?
Yeah. NWO invaded DC?
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah.
I never saw it coming.
I've heard other podcasts, I've read other articles, but that's how, to me, that news is, kind of. If you want me to elaborate, I will, but...
You're talking about Hulk Hogan coming over and getting rid of the yellow and red and donning the all black to write the new Justice League series for DC Comics?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, in the same scenario, yeah. Because if you think about it, you had DC, which would be WCW, right? And you had Jeff Johns, and he's the main guy there.
Okay.
And then you had who, for the longest time, DC's been like the second publisher, right? Up until Rebirth, okay?
Okay.
And then you've had Marvel, the big guy, which would be the WWF style, right?
Right.
And you had Brian Michael Bendis there. He was the Jeff Johns at Marvel, where he recreated stuff and, you know.
And anytime they needed someone to revitalize a series, they'd throw him on it?
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and then.
How long was he there? Like 17, 18 years?
Since 2000.
Is it? Oh, okay.
So around about the same time, right? When was Johns there? It's about the same time, right? Two or three years later.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. And then, like, Friday the Unthinkable happened. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
All of a sudden, just like in wrestling, you know, you get the heel turn and Hogan's the bad guy. And then all of a sudden you have pretty much, with the exception of a select few, you have all the big writers on one side. And then you have maybe a big writer or two still left at Marvel, and then rookies, or not rookies per se, but like you don't have the big name guys. How about that?
Yeah, true.
Right? I mean, they still have Jason Aaron and Wade, right?
Yeah, and Charles Soule is there.
And Charles Soule, yeah.
And, yeah.
But I love Charles Soule, right? But, like, in wrestling terms, he would be a mid-card guy, though, right? He wouldn't be... He wouldn't be Jeff Johns or Brian Michael Bendis or Rucka even. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I'm not saying that to,
like,
knock him.
He would be, like, your Intercontinental Champion type.
Right, yeah. So, the mid-card. That's what I was saying.
But he would be, like, upper mid-card. I mean, the guy... Yeah. I'm not exactly sure what he's writing for Marvel now.
Daredevil.
But... Is he? Okay. But, I mean, he normally... Like, he can put out 4, 5, 6 books a month.
Yeah,
easy.
I'm not saying that he's a bad writer, by all means. I'm just saying, like, he wasn't that impact writer. Like, that...
Oh, right.
That usually you could put on any book, you know, and because he's writing that book, it would have high sales numbers. That's the only thing I was saying.
Right. Yeah, because, I mean, his output is pretty prolific, which is crazy. You know, that's the thing that I don't get about Marvel, is that they'll have, like, 5 people who write about 26 of their titles. You know, and Brian Michael Bendis was one of those guys. Like, how many books was he writing over there? It seemed like he was, every time I saw the list, oh yeah, he was writing, you know, Iron Man and that Iron Man and a Spider-Man book and Jessica Jones. And I think he did Guardians Defenders. Of the Galaxy for a bit, and he was doing Defenders. And I'm like, how many books did this guy write? Like, how is it possible?
Yeah.
You know, like he was on some crazy Matt Kent, like, Blake run.
Well, see, and that's what I'm saying. It's like, back in the day, he pretty much built the ultimate Marvel universe.
Right.
By hand, basically, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, back then, that jumped off and took off like gangbusters. So, right. But then, like you said, on the other side, you had Jeff Johns remodernizing DC characters, right?
Yeah.
And to me, both of them are equally, I don't know, hit or miss, I guess. You know what I mean? Like, Jeff Johns has some awesome stuff. Brian Michael Bendis has some awesome stuff. And then there's not bad, like terrible, like I'm going to throw it away type stuff, but there's some middle of the road type stuff.
Right.
Now, is one better than the other middle of the road? You know, that's an endless debate. So I'd rather not even go into that. But at that point in time, parallel to each other, they were each other's quote-unquote rivals. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
That was the main guy on this side. That was the main guy on that side. So, and then, like, how does this... Obviously, it's not going to... It impacts... Like, I'm excited for it, honestly.
Right.
Because I think here lately, Brian Michael Bendis' Marvel stuff has been hit or miss a lot often with misses. Just because it felt like, dude, you're there 17 years, right? So when that's just like, say you've been working at the post office for 17 years. One day you're going to go in and you're going to bust your ass. And then the other day you're like, psh, I'm going to work for 15 minutes and then throw my feet up on the desk and read comics. You know what I'm saying?
I never do that at work.
but you see what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, now you have this lucrative deal on the other side, and that has to fuel the creative.
See, and that's the other thing. Like, I'm wondering if the money was really... Like, do you think that DC blew him away with a money offer?
No.
That Marvel wouldn't be like, well, of course we're going to match this because you write half of our line?
Well, let's...
Or do you think it was more, he's been there for so long, he's written all of the Avengers and all of, you know, the Defender characters and all of these, like, whoever else. And, I mean, I guess the only thing he really hasn't written is, like, Fantastic Four.
Mm-hmm.
But that book is not coming out ever.
Right. Well,
you know, until they settle the movie thing. So do you think it's more like, hey, come over here. You've never written the Justice League. You've never written, you know, the Teen Titans. You've never written, you know, any of the stuff that we have over here that you know, that everyone seems to want to write at some point in their comic career.
I think it's, I don't think it's money at all. And here's the reason why I don't think it's money at all. He had his hands in the TV and movie stuff also, like producer, writer, screenplay role.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
So
yeah, so he was there, Jeff.
He's getting bank, right? Just from that.
Right.
So it is the lure of, and you go back to the wrestling thing, right? Like when Bret Hart had his amazing run, right? There was a, who was left to beat as a good guy, right? Then you turn, then he turns bad, and then he's got a whole fresh list of list of people to wrestle, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not trying to say good versus bad here with Marvel versus DC at all. It's just my analogy. But like, he didn't need the money at DC. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm sure he didn't go over there for chump change, but I don't think he went over there with the amount of money he was making at Marvel, which we probably won't ever find out anyway.
Yeah.
But I think the lure of not ever being able to write these characters sparked something that hasn't been there before.
Right.
And then so, it's the also the other part of what role is he really over there? Is he going to write, or is he going to be on the TV movie side of things, or is he going to do both?
Well, I mean,
kind of like Johns, you know what I'm saying?
My assumption is he's going to start in the comics, and at some point he's going to branch out and start helping with whatever else they ask him.
Well, yeah, I understand, but I mean, look at this. Jeff Johns has been holding both sides down for how many years now, right?
Yeah.
Basically just him. Now you give him somebody that's his equal almost, right?
Yeah.
To help share the load on both sides of the coin. I mean, that, you know, it seems like it's helping everybody all around, even, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, the other question I had for you, I mean, I don't really read pretty much any Marvel books. There's like a couple. So I'm honestly not too familiar with Bendis's stuff over there. Mm-hmm. So for me, this is it's him coming to DC is going to open up a whole new style of writing for me, because I, like I said, I've read maybe a dozen issues of things that he's ever written.
Okay.
Do you think, because there is that weird fan rivalry thing going on, that
the Marvel DC versus
fans
DC
hate fan Marvel list. Books yeah. and Marvel fans hate DC books. Do you think that because Bendis is such a name in comics and that he's been doing the Marvel thing for so long that there are Marvel fanboys that have never picked up DC books that are going to try out stuff because he's writing it? Or do you think that it's going to be one of those, he's now, you know, he just switched sides and now he's the enemy?
Yes to both, actually, because, because that's his allure anyways. Just because he was one of the guys at Marvel, you had one group of Marvel fanboys that loved everything that he wrote, right? He could have JRJR do art in 22 pages, and then all he had to do was write Spider-Man Wept, and fanboys would think it was the greatest comic that came out that year.
Right.
But then on the other side, you know, he could write some epic saga, and they would crap all over it. You know, the two different sides. So, yes, I think some people, I would say the majority would probably be, he's the most hated guy in comics right now for Marvel fans.
Okay.
But I think there are some that are open-minded, like us and people that listen to us, I guess, that would try out DC just because he's doing it. And they've been fans of his work before.
Yeah, I mean, when Jeff Lemire left DC and went to Marvel, I picked up a bunch of his books just because I like his writing. Like, I was reading his Old Man Logan. I read, you know, Moon Knight for a bit. Mm-hmm. I read, I didn't really like Hawkeye.
Okay.
I to be honest, I probably didn't give it a fair chance. But, I mean, coming off of Green Arrow, you know, him going to Hawkeye, I was like, I don't really care.
Right. Because it's kind of the same character.
Yeah, I mean, like,
mold, I guess, rather.
Right, so I didn't really bother. But, you know, I mean, I like writers more than I like characters, I guess.
Okay.
That there are some characters that I don't really like, but if you put the right person on the book, I mean, it's an amazing book.
Right.
You know, I had no history with Moon Knight. That it was like, you know, all right, someone... You know, I said to you guys, I was like, give me the elevator pitch why I should read Moon Knight. And you guys told me, and I was like, all right, what the hell, I'll give it a shot. And it was great. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I thought Lemire did it, and I tried reading it since he left, and it's not the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
I totally agree.
The same thing with Old Man Logan. The series started off great, and I was like, wow, this is fantastic. Like, I actually care about a Wolverine book again. And then he left, and I'm like, wow, I really do not care about this book at all anymore. You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you can throw a good writer on something, like now, I have nothing against Hitch. Mm-hmm. I just don't like his Justice League at all. And, I mean, they announced already he's leaving the book and Christopher Priest is taking over. Mm-hmm. And that has me so ridiculously excited for a Justice League book again.
I agree. Yeah.
That it's like, oh, my goodness, I can't wait. You know, and I know stylistically I'm hoping it's different than his Deathstroke series.
Uh-huh.
Just because, I mean, I don't want to read two similar books. But at the same time, Deathstroke is so good. If he wrote Justice League like Deathstroke, I would be... You know, make them a totally dysfunctional family. Oh my goodness, I would be all in for that.
Yeah. I can see that. Definitely.
So, with Bendis coming over to DC, mm-hmm. and, you know, I mean, everyone assumed that he was going to write a Justice League book, mm-hmm. because why wouldn't he? But, you know, like I said, they already said Christopher Priest is doing it. Mm-hmm. What book or books or character would you like to see him take on first?
To be honest with you, I've had plenty of time to think about this.
Okay.
I would say the Teen Titans book.
Aha!
And here,
that is funny.
But here's my reason why.
It's so funny.
And I'm talking about the Damian Jonathan Teen Titans book.
Right.
Okay, but here's my reason why. Because when I thought Brian Michael Bendis was doing his best stuff with outside of Alias Jessica Jones...
Was New X-Men?
Yes, but like Ultimate Peter Parker. Ultimate Miles Morales, right? Because he created Miles Morales, which are teenagers, and... The villains were mostly teenagers, you know. X-Men, Ultimate X-Men were teenagers or around there. So
right.
That's like his sweet spot for me as to where, like, some of the other writers can't really grasp the teen voice, I guess.
It's funny that you said that, because when all the news broke, I started looking up, you know, everything. Okay, what has he written?
Uh-huh.
You know, and like I said, I haven't read a lot of it, but some of the most well-received stuff that he did is that Ultimate Spider-Man, mm-hmm. and the X-Men. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, man, that would be fantastic if he could do, you know, either Super Sons,
yeah.
or a Teen Titans book or something over here. Because, I mean, they're not bad at all.
Right.
But, I mean... It could probably be better.
Right.
You know, like Super Sons, I think, is the best of all of them. Mm-hmm. But Titans and Teen Titans, I mean, they're good, but they're like, they haven't wowed me.
Yeah.
you know? And I think he might be able to do that. And it's funny that you said Teen Titans first.
Yeah. Because
that was that. And I have two that I'd like to see him do.
Now, I do too. There's a solo character that I would like to see him do based off his work with Alias and Jessica Jones, which is the darker, grittier stuff.
If you say the question, I'm going to freaking go nuts.
Well, no, I wasn't. But that's a good answer, though.
That was my pick.
Constantine is my other pick. Okay. Like Hellblazer style.
Right.
In the dark and gritty stuff, which I know you were totally miss with it before. But,
yeah, like
but
that.
here lately, I was okay with it, and then it kind of fell off for me. But right. now that Seeley's writing it again, it like sparked up for me.
Did it? When did he take over? Was it like just, the last issue or two?
Yeah, just this last issue.
Okay, I'll have to get that again because I like
or
Tim
two,
Seeley.
Maybe by the time this comes out, maybe two. But
okay,
but that's the like spark that it's been missing. Like there was, you know, that it that it was just missing,
right?
And then like it's like he threw everything he had at this one issue. It seemed like
yeah,
but yeah, those would be two books that I think. Because you're putting a big name on that title, for one.
Right.
Right? Or those titles. And then plus, everybody has strong things that they write about and weaknesses that they do, right? So, like, giving him those two options, which, I mean, there's probably countless other options that are in that demographic or in that genre, those two genres.
Right.
That he could do and excel at, you know, that kind of, it's like a layup, you know, it's easy.
Yeah.
It's easy money.
Yeah. And not only that, it kind of helped him get his footing.
Yeah.
With a whole new fan base.
Right.
Early on.
Yep.
And then, you know, be like, hey, okay, what do you want to do? Oh, well, I want to write a book on Skeet, you know, and we'd be like, well, okay. And it would be like, yeah, here's this weird little robot thing that travels time with Booster Gold, but the book has nothing to do with Booster Gold. It's just the robot.
Right. And see, and that would be Blue Beetle and Booster Gold book, or Legion of Superheroes, even if you're gonna give yeah. them, if you're gonna give them a teeny group book, Legion right. of Superheroes. That'd be fan freaking tastic.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like with like what you were saying, a book kind of like Alias or Daredevil or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think you can go a couple ways. I would love to see Question get a title again,
mm-hmm.
which would be fun.
Now, would it be Renee Montoya Question? Or would it be...
I mean...
Or does it matter at this point? As long as it's
I don't
a question.
Really think it, I don't really think it matters.
Okay.
You know, let him pick and do whatever he wants to do.
Right.
Kind of. But I think also with the Doomsday Clock happening, maybe he could write a Rorschach book.
Yeah.
Even if it's a mini, just be like, here you go. You do gritty, you know, dark, totally messed up characters. Here is the most gritty, most dark, most totally messed up character. Have fun.
Now, you know? Yeah. Now that you brought that up, what if not, does it throw a monkey wrench in the plans that they've already had for that type of stuff? Right.
I don't think so, because I mean it's all been planned and probably most of it's been at least in the preliminary stages of being completed. Mm-hmm. You know, like with the whole Doomsday Clock thing, I think it's pretty much, hey, now that you're here, this is what we're doing. What can you do based off of that?
Right.
You know, like this is how things are going to end up. Do you have any ideas?
Yeah. So, do you think with him going there, he has enough quote-unquote stroke, if you will, to pick books? Or is he going to be, like, assigned books?
Well, I mean, I'm sure... I don't think he'll be able to bump people off of books. You know? Like, I don't think he's going to come in and be like, I know you said... you know, whoever it is, you know, so-and-so is writing this title. I want to write this title.
Uh-huh.
I think it'll be more like, you know, I would really like to do a Trinity book, or I'd really like to do a book with, you know, Elongated Man. Nobody's writing him. Let me do a story with him.
What about that? What about Ralph and somebody in a detective style book?
I was also thinking I'd love to see him do like a Gotham Central.
Yeah.
You know,
that'd be great too.
Because, you know, like I said, the stuff that it seems that people receive the best of his,
mm-hmm.
it's like the teenage stuff and it's like the street level stuff.
Right.
And
yeah, well, if you get Gotham Central, you can have Crispus Allen and Renee Montoya team up, right?
Yeah.
And then you got your Spectre and Question.
Yeah, true.
Or, you know, hey, Metal's hitting that Plastic Man, so you can even do Plastic Man.
Yeah, and I mean, Plastic Man's been in the new Injustice, so it wouldn't be like Far-fetched. It wouldn't be pulling him out of nowhere to bring it in.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
So, yeah. I mean, at this point, I don't really care what he writes. I'm just curious to see what his first announced title is.
Yeah.
And then to see the ridiculous backlash from Marvel fans.
Or what about DC fans? Do you think there's like the opposite of what you were saying? Do you think there's
those
that won't read it because he came from Marvel?
It wouldn't surprise me if there was. But, I mean, if you like Hawkman and you're like, I need there to be a Hawkman title, and then they announce a Hawkman title and Brian Michael Bendis is writing it, would you be like, forget this, I'm not reading this because he's a Marvel guy? You know?
Yeah, well, that happened like, to me last week, so.
Yeah, and then you read the book anyway and you loved it, so.
Yeah, yeah.
So just deal with the fact that CM Punk writes your comics. But, yeah, I mean, unless I don't know. Like, I'm sure that there are some people that would be like that, though, which is the weird thing.
Yeah.
That's like, I love Batman. I'm going to read everything Batman, but I don't want to read anything that Brian Michael Bendis writes as a Batman book. So I'm not going to read Detective Comics now.
Right.
Like, that would be silly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I can't fathom that train of thought, really. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, especially because, like, I will try every single new DC series.
Yeah.
You know, I always do. I don't care who's writing it. I mean, unless you're going to tell me that there's, like, a child murderer that's writing a comic from prison,
mm-hmm.
that one I would probably be like, yeah, maybe I won't read this one.
Well, there is one that I'm going to tell you that, if you do read it, text me and let me know what the hell's going on with it.
Uh-oh.
Because, and that's the new Dead Man.
Oh, I have it. I haven't read it yet.
By Neil Adams, right?
Yeah. Yeah, dude, the new mini.
Yes, I have tried to read that thing like 4 times. And each time I get like 2 panels in further than the first time or the previous time.
Right.
And I still close the page on my iPad and question what the hell is going on in that book.
Yeah. You know, because the last couple minis that have come out, you've been like really high on.
Yeah.
That's what I was like, you know what? I'm going to get the first issue of this one because I know Ronnie's going to want to talk about it.
Yeah.
I haven't read it yet, but I do have it, and I will.
And that's the whole reason why.
I'll try and read it later.
Because I was like, oh, awesome, a new Dead Man mini. Heck yeah, the last one was fantastic. Subscribe. And then, like, I tried to read it, and I was like, oh, what the hell's going on? And then I was like, oh, maybe I'm not in the mood or I'm not focused right now to read it.
Right. I've done that before.
Which I might have
I'm just not in the right mindset for this weirdness. And then you try reading again, and you're like, no, it's just the book is terrible.
Yeah, and then the second time I tried to open it and read it and might or might not have fallen asleep and the iPad hit me in the nose to wake me up. And then I tried it again, and now I'm just like, I don't understand what's going on.
That's awesome. I will have to give it a shot and see if I can make it through.
Yeah.
Because I think I'm way less tolerant about crap like that than you are. So we'll see.
Yeah.
That's my friend always says, he's like, yeah, I was trying to read this and I wasn't so into it. He's like, I was going to ask you to read it, but then I was like, yeah, you would hate it from page one. So I didn't even bother.
Well, even on the third try, I went from guided view to standard view. Cause I was like, maybe guided view is acting up right now. Because these panels and stuff seem out of order.
Right.
Yeah, no. It's just, yeah. If that's the case, Comixology doesn't know what the hell's going on either. You know what I mean?
How great would that be? If the book is so bizarre, it's just like, you know, like Comixology can't even figure it out. So they're just like, here's a bunch of random images. Just put them in any order.
Yeah.
Be like Batman Odyssey.
Yeah. Or Superman Doom.
Yeah. You know, I forget who. I was talking to someone about a year ago about Odyssey. And I was like, it wasn't as bad as I remember, was it? Like, can it really have been that strange and terrible? And I went back and I started reading it. And I made it like two issues in. And I was like, it really is this bad and terrible. Like, I can't even. I've read it before and I don't even know what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, forget it.
Yeah.
Getting back to Brian Michael Bendis.
Okay.
I had one other question for you, and that was: is there? This is like, you know, fantasy football draft here.
Okay.
Would there be any writers from anywhere? I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be a Marvel writer that you would want to see come to DC and work on a specific DC book?
Yeah. I'll tell you one right now, and I don't even have to think about it.
You're going to say Jason Aaron?
Nope.
Oh, really?
Yep. I'm going to say he was already there once.
Ed Brubaker?
Nope. It's going to be Adam Glass doing Justice Society.
Ah.
Because I think that would be like his Rough Rider style. Like,
yeah. That would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Huh.
That would, like I said, you know, he's got two books out now for Aftershock that are amazing, or I think it's amazing, and I think you think they're amazing too.
Yeah.
Which is Rough Riders and The Normals. And they're two completely different books.
Yeah. So, oh, absolutely.
So the dude can write. So let's give him some characters that have weight or a history prior to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that would be my pick. My number one draft choice. What about you?
See, I don't know. There are a lot of people I'd love to see come over. And I think one that might be kind of fun is I would love to see Mike Mignola do like a Justice League Dark, you know, or, you know, just like maybe even a Hellblazer or, you know, like some of those, like a Zatanna, like, you know, some of the DC like Mystic, Dark Mystic kind of characters.
That's like Hellboy, BBRD type stuff.
Right. But I mean, I wouldn't want him to write, you know, like a Frankenstein book because it would be kind of a little too similar.
Right. Right.
You know, like a Shade thing that would be. But I think he could do in that like dark setting. Mm-hmm. I think he could do some real interesting things with some of the characters, you know, like, I don't even know. Maybe like a dead man or something, but I think he would be kind of interesting. Even like a Swamp Thing book. you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that would actually be pretty, pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I never thought about that, but yeah, that works.
Yeah, I mean, like, because everybody's always going to say, oh, Jason Aaron's got to come over and write this, and, you know, I want Mark Waid to come over and do this, or, you know, whatever. But, you know, like, in reality, I mean, I'm wondering if Bendis coming over is going to start some kind of weird
fallout,
rate scale talent exchange, if you would.
Yeah.
You know, maybe get some of the DC people whose contracts are going, like, have Marvel snatch them up. Be like, all right, well, you're going to take our guys, we're going to poach your guys.
Right.
And then, you know, back and forth.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I mean, like I said, I like the writers, and a lot of times, or artists, you know, just as much as I like the characters.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'll read. As long as they're giving me good stories, I'll read whoever they're writing.
Yeah, that'd be cool. You know? Yeah.
But I think, you know, speaking of Booster Gold,
mm-hmm.
I think if Jim Zub came over,
oh yeah,
I think he would do pretty awesome things with a Booster Gold book. You know, yeah. I mean, he's writing, I don't know how many Marvel books he does now. He does a whole bunch.
Yeah.
But I mean, he also has a whole mess of Image titles, and I don't even know. I don't know if he's still doing all the Disney stuff, which I guess kind of was Marvel.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, he writes a lot, and I think he has the right sensibilities to write a good, like, Booster and Blue Beetle book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And see, I think the only reason I said Adam mm-hmm. Glass for Justice Society is because, like, Geoff Johns before, when he wrote that or brought them back and he was writing that, and there was the Alex Ross covers and everything, he made them meaningful again.
Right.
Right? He wasn't just doing it, and then it sucks in a way, because when he got off that book, then nobody continued on with that. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I think that's why I picked Adam for that retro style, because the Rough Riders is the retro style, and it's also a team book. But, like, I think he would bring relevance and those characters up to speed without having to force it, I guess.
Right. Yeah, no, that makes sense. And like you said, I mean, he's a really good writer. And I think, yeah, like a Legion book or something, he would do really good. Yeah, it would be very interesting.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep. What do you think, sir? You got anything else for me?
No, I don't think so.
We can wrap this baby up then?
Yeah, I guess. You got nothing else?
I do not.
Okay. Well, I guess thank you for listening. If you would like to get in touch with us, you can tweet to me directly at Aaron S. Bell.
And you can tweet directly at me at Rombar316.
And you can tweet any questions, comments, concerns, suggestions, whatever, directly to the show itself at DC_absolute. And I guess until next time or something.
Or something.
DC Absolute.
Hell yeah.
that wasn't terrible.
That was pathetic. Ooh.
Nerdy Legion.
Nerdylegion.com. Totally confused. Shut up. I hate you. Forget it. Podcast over. Shut up. You're not my real dad.